Would you turn then to Colossians 4, beginning at verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. We're in the final greetings of the book of Colossians. Tychicus, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. So we've come now to the conclusion, or the final greetings, of the epistle to the Colossians. Now there's always a tendency when you come to this section of one of the letters to think, well, there's no meat here, this is only the conclusion, just a list of names, personal instructions. But remember, this is part of the Bible. This is Scripture. There's bound to be something here for us to learn. It's the Word of God to us. Let's look at a couple of background notes first. Tychicus, he was one of Paul's fellow workers. How would you like a name like that, Tychicus? They probably call him Tychi or something like that as a nickname, I don't know. But with a name like that, Tychicus, you've got to be good. And Tychicus was good. He was not an upfront preacher like Paul. He was a behind-the-scenes type Christian, but very important. Look what verse 7 says. He was a faithful minister, a fellow servant, a beloved brother. Very important. Verse 8 indicates that he's carrying the letter. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart. He's actually carrying this letter to the Colossians from Paul, who's writing it there in Rome. Not only that, we learn from Ephesians chapter 6 that he's also carrying that letter as well. Ephesians 6, verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. So Tychicus then is a mailman. He's not an upfront preacher like the Apostle Paul. He's a behind-the-scenes person, but very important. He's carrying these two letters, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Colossians. Ephesus and Colossae were about 100 miles apart, as you can see on your Bible maps. How about Onesimus? Background note for Onesimus. We see that he's also called here a faithful and beloved brother. And he's traveling with Tychicus. What do we know about Onesimus anyway? Well, we learn a lot about Onesimus from the book of Philemon. Onesimus was a runaway slave from Philemon. Somehow, he crosses the path of the Apostle Paul. Onesimus had run away from Philemon in Colossae. Whether he ripped them off or not, we don't know. But he runs to Rome. Why not run to Rome? That's a big city. You can get lost there. The authorities wouldn't be able to trace you down. Somehow, we don't know exactly the details here, he crosses the path of the Apostle Paul. Maybe he was wandering on the street and Luke found him out there and said, hey, come on, I want you to meet a friend of mine. You remember, Paul's in prison, not a dungeon, but house arrest, and he could have anyone in. He could preach to them. He could send his co-workers on missionary travels and so forth. He was always chained, as you know, to a Roman guard. But it could be that Luke found Onesimus, you know, on the streets of Rome and brought him over. And he becomes a Christian. He's led to the Lord. And now he is a beloved brother. He's one in the faith. Talk about the sovereignty of God here, the way God worked it out so that Paul and Onesimus would meet and Onesimus would become a Christian. Notice what it says here, that he's one of you. That means he's become a believer. He's in the family of God. He's converted. I can imagine when the Colossians get this letter, you know, what, that scoundrel, that runaway, that slave, Onesimus? Some of them would be rejoicing. Oh, he's become a Christian. Fantastic. But of course, we don't know. He may have ripped off Philemon. You remember the church at Colossae meets in Philemon's home. Can you imagine Philemon's attitude here? But now Onesimus is coming back. He's coming back to get things straightened out with Philemon. He has a social obligation to do this. And he's carrying, of course, the letter to Philemon. In that letter, of course, Paul paves the way for Onesimus to come back. He doesn't demand that Philemon release him as a slave to become free, but on the other hand, he certainly paves the way where Philemon could do that. Paul doesn't demand it, however. Well, now that leads us then to our doctrinal points for today, and I'd like to bring out two doctrinal points, one from Tychicus, one from Onesimus. In other words, what is God teaching us here? Well, the doctrinal point or teaching point we'd like to bring out from Tychicus, in Tychicus we are taught three of God's quality control standards for Christians. What do we mean by quality control standards? Well, I think you've heard that term before. You know, when a company makes a product, there are certain standards that the product must meet. The products are checked out against those standards. Quality control standards. If they don't meet or measure up to these standards, they're not released to the public. Well, in the same way, God has some quality control standards that he wants every Christian to meet. Here's three of them. He wants us to be beloved brethren and sisters, right? And he wants us to be faithful ministers. And he wants us to be fellow servants. You see that in reference to Tychicus? Beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant. What does it mean, beloved brother? And not just a brother, okay? He was the kind of Christian that you really like to have around. Good attitude, helpful, easy to love. Now, not all Christians are like that. All Christians are brothers or sisters, but they're not all beloved or dear brothers or sisters. Not all Christians bring with them an atmosphere of love. We need more beloved brothers and sisters like Tychicus. They're the all-important and necessary oil for the machinery of Christian ministry. Are you a beloved brother or sister, or do other Christians like to see you move on? Okay, not only is he a beloved brother, he's a faithful servant. He's a faithful servant. Namely, he was a trusted assistant to the Apostle Paul. He was dependable. He was reliable. He could be counted on. Did you ever work with a Christian who is not reliable? The no-shows, they say they're going to help you out. Where are they? They never show up. They say they're going to do a job, like be a Sunday school teacher, but then they cop out. They say they're going to commit themselves to become a counselor at camp, camp ministry, and then what happens? They come for a while or they don't show, whatever. They're not faithful servants. You can't depend on them. No wonder the Apostle Paul chose Tychicus. He was a faithful servant. No wonder Paul chose him to carry the letters of Ephesians and Colossians. Suppose those letters had been lost. Tychicus probably didn't realize at that point how important the mail was. And many times the small jobs that we're doing, we think they're insignificant, but they're very important for the smooth running and ongoing of a ministry. So don't think too little of yourself if you think, well, I'm only a Tychicus. Tychicuses are very important, faithful servants. And then we see he's a fellow bondservant. Paul calls Tychicus a fellow bondservant. Paul considered himself a slave of Christ. That's the idea in bondservant, a slave of Christ. And so did Tychicus. Do we? That's one of God's quality control standards, that we should be fellow servants. You know, we like to think of ourselves as sons of God and in the family of God, fellow heirs with Christ. And that's all true, but this is also true. We are to be consider ourselves fellow bond servants. In Onesimus, we're taught another doctrinal point here now. In Onesimus, we're taught that salvation does not relieve us of our social obligations. When Onesimus became a Christian, Paul didn't say, oh, you're a runaway slave? Oh, that's all right. You're a Christian now. Let bygones be bygones. Sweep it under the rug. No problems. No, Onesimus had an obligation here as a Christian now to make it right with Philemon, not just to sweep it under the rug. And that really then brings us to our practical application. Let's put it this way. Let's be a typical Tychicus and an open Onesimus. That's the way we'll put our practical application for today. Be a typical Tychicus and an open Onesimus, a TT and an OO, okay? What a tremendous commendation it would be for someone to say to you or about you, he or she is a typical Tychicus, namely a beloved brother or sister, a faithful servant, a fellow bondslave. What a tremendous commendation that would be if that was on an epitaph on your tombstone when you die. Here lies a typical Tychicus. Tremendous. Not an upfront preacher or something like that, but a beloved brother or sister, faithful servant, fellow bondslave. God is not only looking for the Peters and the Pauls. He's looking for the, how do you put the plural here? He's looking for the Tychi, or he's looking for the Tychicuses, okay? But now also, we are to be open Onesimuses. Now, what I mean here by open, open in the sense of do whatever it takes to get things straightened out after you become a Christian. Open to do the right thing, to make it right. Open to the counsel of other believers, as Onesimus was to Paul, to get things cleared up. Suppose before you were a Christian, you were a shoplifter, an habitual shoplifter. Well, now that you're a Christian, you're forgiven, God forgives you, but you need to make that right as much as you can, as best as you can. Take the items back, pay the store back, whatever. You got to be open to do whatever it takes to make things right. There's a social obligation here. We see that here in Onesimus. We're not to sweep these sins under the rug. Now, there's certain sins, of course, you can't undo. We have a certain social obligation, of course, not to break the speed limit. And that carries on after you're a Christian, too, of course. Well, now, when you become a Christian, you say, oh, I broke the speed limit so many times before I was a Christian. Now I got to, well, you can't undo that, okay? But we should try now not to break the speed limit. But there are other things that we've done. Extreme case, suppose you robbed a bank. Nobody knows about it. You're now a Christian. What are you going to do? You could get away with it. Nobody knows. No, you need to go back and make that right. You should be open to it. But I might go to prison for that. You should be open even for that. Onesimus was open to becoming a slave again when he returned to Philemon. He had a social obligation there. You don't sweep these things under the rug. Very practical here. We want to be typical Tychicuses, and we want to be open Onesimuses. Certainly practical application from the doctrine that comes to us from this portion of God's Word.